We are living in the last days. Somebody says, well, Pastor, how do you know that? Because the Bible says, ever since the day of Pentecost, we have been living, people have been living in the last days. But folks, I believe we're living in the last days of the last days. Maybe even the last moments of the last days. We very well may be the generation that sees the return of Christ. Do you believe that? I'm going to tell you, I really believe that. And I think as we look, you know, the signs are multiplying. And you can't read like the book of the 24th chapter of Matthew, which lists the signs that are going to appear before the coming of Jesus Christ, and not wonder, is this the generation? When it says earthquakes will increase, and over the last century there's been more earthquakes than ever before, and violence will increase, and we see terrorism, and men's love will run cold, and there'll be pestilences, and there'll be famines, and you look at the signs, and they are multiplying all over the world. And you have to ask the question, is this the generation that's going to see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? And folks, not only in Matthew 24, but you can go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it tells about what people will be like in the last days. It says, in the last days, perilous times will come. And then it gives a description of people. And I'll tell you what, it could be a description of people in this generation today. And you have to ask, is this the generation? Are we the ones that are going to see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the more people I talk with, and I talk with a lot of different Christians, they say, we're sensing, Pastor, something is happening. Something's about to happen in the world today. Is Christ going to come back in our generation? And not only is that true with Christians, even the secular world is sensing that something is about to happen, that history, as we know it, is winding up. And they're saying Armageddon is looming on the horizon. In fact, even last night, on the History Channel, I don't know if you saw it, there was a program on this person called the Antichrist. I mean, it's pervading our society. People are sensing something is about to happen. And even this last week, our president, where was our president this last week? The Middle East, in Israel. And do you know what he said? He said, you know, before I leave office, we're going to bring about a peace agreement between the Jews and the Palestinians. And what does Scripture say? When they're saying peace, peace, then destruction will come upon them suddenly. And I'll tell you what, we are seeing the signs multiply all around us. I believe with all my heart we're living in the last days. Now, with that in mind, how are we to live? How's a Christian to live today? How are we to respond to the fact that Christ's coming is imminent? It could happen at any moment. Could even happen today. How are we to live? And what in the world is going to be happening on earth before Christ returns? Now, with all that in mind, I'd like you to take your Bibles and open them up to the greatest prophecy book in the Bible, the book of the Revelation. Book of Revelation. In chapter 1, the book of the Revelation, the last book in your Bible. And this morning, I just want to begin a partial introduction to the book of the Revelation. And we are going to be looking at this book over the Lord willing, if he tarries, over the next months. And we're going to be looking at Revelation, a countdown to Armageddon and the second coming of Christ. I'll tell you, this is an exciting book, folks, an exciting book. And we want to take a look at it and just kind of lay some groundwork this morning to our study of this book of the Revelation. I preached through this book about 8 years ago. And see, people came and said, Pastor, would you preach through the book again? And so that's why we're going to look at this book. And there's been many things that have happened over the last eight years that are also, again, pointing toward the fact that Christ could come. First of all, this morning, we want to take a look at the emphasis of the book of Revelation. And look, I want to read verses 1 through 3. Look with me as I read those verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his bondservants the things which must shortly take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. The time is near. First of all, the emphasis of this book. This book, as indicated in the first verse, is a revelation. A revelation. If I could have that up there. In this book, you have an apocalypse. An apocalypse. In fact, some of your Bibles might even call this book the apocalypse, is the Greek word that translates revelation. And the word apocalypse means an uncovering or an unveiling. This book is an uncovering or an unveiling. It's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been to a dedication ceremony where they are there's a new statue. They made a statue of some great person and they're going to dedicate the statue. And they have a covering over the statue. And there's some announcements and some talk. But it comes to the point in the dedication service where somebody goes over and grabs the drape and pulls it off. And they reveal this artwork of this statue. That is an apocalypse. It's an uncovering, an unveiling. Or maybe you saw the car commercial on television, when they were introducing the new models of cars, and in the commercial they show a car, but it's covered over with a drape, and they're talking it up, and boy, this is a new model, it's really great, and all of a sudden, the drape comes off, and there's revealed the new model. That is what this book does. It uncovers, it unveils. Now, to talk to some people, you'd never know that. Because some people think that this book is a sealed book. This book is a closed book. You know what, Pastor? You can't understand the book of Revelation. You can't understand it. All those symbols and all that visions, you can't. It's a closed book. But you know what, folks? That is not true. This is an unveiling. This is an uncovering. And it's very interesting to look at Daniel 12:9, and I'll just quote that. But Daniel 12:9, compare that with Revelation 22:10. In Daniel 12:9, you know what God told Daniel? You know, God gave a lot of visions and dreams and visions. And God told Daniel in Daniel 12, verse 9, he said this, "Go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time." The book of Daniel was a concealed book. And he said, people are not going to understand this book until the end time. But hold your hand here in Revelation 1. Turn to Revelation 22. Turn over to Revelation 22 and look at verse 10. Very interesting what it says about the book of Revelation. Look what John was told. He says, "And he said to me," what? "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near." This is not a sealed book. This is not a closed book. It's an uncovering. It is an unveiling. By the way, folks, this book, and you'll see it as we go through the book of Revelation, is, I believe, one of the most orderly laid out books in all the Bible. It's very orderly laid out. And although, and I'm going to admit this to begin with, some of the symbols in some of the visions are difficult to understand. I mean, there's different interpretation of some of the symbols. But the major theme and the major teachings of this book are easy to understand. And they are clear because it's an uncovering. Now, secondly, I want you to note something. The word revelation is singular, not plural. It's not the book of revelations. It's the book of the revelation. Now, I'll just tell you a story. Back when I was in seminary, I had a friend. He was an older gentleman. He was in the church that we attended. And his name was Paul Gray. And Paul and I would like to get, we always got together. And he loved Jesus. He loved the Bible. And we would get together. And we just loved to get together and talk about the Bible. And not just talk. We like to get together and sometimes argue about the Bible. You ever get together and argue with people about the Bible? But I mean, it was a good type of, going back and forth. And what do you think about this? And we would talk about the Bible. And one time we were talking and I was trying to make a point. And I said, Paul, this is in the book of Revelations. And he said, no such. I said, I looked at him and said, what do you mean? He said, there's no such book as the book of Revelations. I said, yes, there is. The last book of the Bible. And he said, son, I remember him pointing at me, son, I want to tell you something. That book is not the book of Revelations. It's the book of the Revelation. That book that you refer to, it's not in the Bible. And I never forgot that. Never forgot that. I would afterwards, I would be talking with him, and I'd catch myself. In the book of Revelation, and I'd catch myself. Because this is not the book of Revelations, it's the book of the Revelation. You say, is that important? Is that important? And it is. And you know why it is? Because, number three, this is the book. The book is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the revelation is. And some of your Bibles, actually, like my Bible, have it wrong. Because some of your Bibles have a title up the top, like my Bible, it says the Revelation of John. Anybody have a Bible like that? Revelation of John. Or the Revelation of Saint John, some say. Folks, this is not the Revelation of John. John wrote it down, but he was the scribe, he was the amanuensis, he was the secretary that wrote this book down, but he was not the author of the book, and the book is not written about John. This is an uncovering, and it's an uncovering of Jesus Christ. It's the revelation of Christ. Now, folks, the whole Bible is a revelation of Christ. Amen? The whole Bible, the written word, reveals the living word. And I often say that this Bible is the greatest hymn book in the world because on every page you find Him. You find the Lord Jesus. Isn't that what he told the Pharisees? You remember the Pharisees were talking to Jesus and Jesus said to the Pharisees, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is these that are written of me. And yet you're unwilling to come to me to have life. In fact, what was he referring to there? The Old or New Testament? Actually, the New Testament hadn't been written. Jesus said the Old Testament was a revelation of himself. It's these that are written of me. The whole Bible reveals Jesus Christ. But in a very special sense, the book of Revelation reveals the Lord Jesus. You see, in the Gospels, we see Jesus revealed in the days of his flesh. But they do not give us a full picture of Jesus. In the Gospels, we see Jesus in his incarnation, in his humiliation. But in the book of Revelation, folks, I'm going to tell you, you see Jesus in all his glory, high and holy and lifted up, and on the throne of heaven, you see Jesus. This book is a revelation of Jesus Christ. We see him in charge of everything that takes place. Folks, in chapter 1, you see Jesus as the second person of the Trinity. You see him as Savior. You see him as the firstborn from the dead. You see him as ruler of kings, as Alpha and Omega, the one who has the key to death and Hades. In chapters 2 and 3, this is interesting, you see him as the one who walks amidst the candlesticks, the candlelights. He walks. Do you know what? Jesus walks in the church. Jesus is here today. He walks in the church. We see that in chapters 2 and 3. In chapter 4, we see Jesus, holy king on the throne, Lord God Almighty. In chapter 5, we see him as the lion lamb. In chapter 7, we see him as the shepherd lamb. In chapter 6 through 18, we see him as the lamb that judges with wrath. In chapter 19, we see him as the bridegroom coming for his bride, as the faithful one, the King of kings and Lord of lords. In chapter 20, we see him as the millennial king that will reign for 1,000 years. And we see him as the one who will judge the quick and the dead at the great white throne judgment. In chapters 20 and 21, we see him as the Lord in all his glory. We see him as the one who in the new heavens and the new Jerusalem will be the one that lights the whole universe with the glory of his own person. I'll tell you, folks, this book is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's kind of like this. Here's how I want you to kind of maybe can remember this. Do you see this? I want to show you what revelation is. Revelation is an uncovering. That's what this book does. It uncovers for us the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, that's exciting, folks. That is so exciting because in Revelation you see Jesus as you never see him before. This is an exciting book. And I want to point out one other thing about the emphasis of this book. One other thing about the emphasis. I want you to note the certainty of the revelation. Because it says here, do you see it there in verse 1? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his bondservants the things which, what? Must come to pass. They must. That word must, that's such an important word. Such an important word. John records the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 7. You remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? He said, "Marvel not that I say to you, you must be what? You must be born again." Nicodemus came and said to Jesus, Jesus, how do you get to heaven? How do you get to heaven? And Jesus said, "You know what, Nicodemus? Unless you're born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven." And Nicodemus didn't understand, how can I be born again? How can I go up into the womb of my mother and be born a second time? Jesus said, no, you misunderstand. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. And marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. If you're going to go to heaven, you've got to be born again. You must be born again. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know what? Luke uses this same word over in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, quoting Peter. You remember it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." You see, if you're going to be saved, if you're going to go to heaven, you must be born again. And if you're going to be born again, you must come to Christ. He's the only way. And I'll tell you what, folks. People are saying, don't say that. Don't say that today. You'll turn people off. People will hear that. They may not come back to church. I'll tell you what. You'll at least hear it one time. Amen? I'll tell you what. You must be born again. And you must come to God through Jesus Christ. That's the word must. And now John uses that same word here. I'll tell you, he says, this revelation must come to pass. It must. Why must it? Because God said it. God is sovereign. God is in control of all things. And God's word is true. And God's word can't be broken. And all things written in Revelation must happen because God said they will. Amen? God said they will. And so they must come to pass. And if God says it, that settles it. Whether people believe it or not, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. The emphasis of this book is the revelation. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ and what Christ is about to do. And then thereafter, praise God. Now look with me secondly this morning. At the communication of the book of Revelation. The communication of the book of Revelation. How was it given? Well, God the Father gave it to Jesus Christ, who gave it to an angel, who gave it to John, who wrote it down and gave it to us. It's right there. Do you see it there? It says that Jesus, Revelation of Jesus Christ, with God gave to him, Jesus, to show to his bondservants the things which must shortly take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who bore witness. And this is how it was communicated. Now, this John is John the Apostle. This is John the Apostle. And I think it's very interesting how this verse refers to John, or how John refers to himself. You know, he could have said he gave it to John, the great apostle of Jesus. Or he gave it to John, one of the original 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus. Or he gave it to John, the one whom Jesus loved. Or he gave it to John, a pillar of the early church. Or he gave it to John, the bishop of the church of Ephesus. You know what? He could have used all those and been true. But you see how he refers to himself? He gave to angel to his what? Bondservant. To his servant. And you know what, folks? That said to me, when we see Jesus like John saw Jesus, you know what? There's no big shots in the church. There's no people up here in the church. You get a vision when I'll tell you. You know what the Church of Jesus Christ needs today in the United States? We need a vision of Christ. We need to see Jesus. We need to get a fresh view of who Jesus is. And I'll tell you what. When that happens, then every one of us, we will be content to be what? Bondservants. I'm just a servant of the Lord. I'll tell you what. Wow. And look what happened. You know, John, verse 2. Look at verse 2. John bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus, even to all that he saw. I'll tell you what, this John was a remarkable man because he saw great things. And I'll tell you what, he spoke what he saw. He wasn't afraid to tell it like it is. He wasn't afraid to speak it all. You know, he didn't water it down. He didn't adulterate. He spoke the word. He talked about the word. You remember in his gospel, he starts, what's the first verse of the gospel? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And down in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He spoke about the Word. He spoke about Jesus. You know, people today, again, some people, we want to be so seeker friendly, and we don't want to offend anybody, so we water down. I'll tell you what, John didn't do that. He spoke everything that he saw. He spoke the truth. And you know what it got him? Look at verse 9. We didn't read that. But in verse 9, this is what happened to that John. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker of tribulation and kingdom and perseverance, which are in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I'll tell you what it got him. It got him persecution. It got him rejection. It got him exiled to a desert or a deserted island of Patmos. But I'll tell you what, when you speak the word of God, when you stand up for Jesus Christ, you may be rejected by men, but I'll tell you what, you may be on the verge of having a great revelation of Jesus. God does that. When we are obedient to Christ, and when we stand for the Lord, I'll tell you what, again, you may go through trials. You may go through persecution of men. But I'll tell you what, you may meet Jesus Christ in a way you never did before. That's what happened to John. That's what happened to John. He didn't hold back. He preached the whole counsel of God. And that's why he was suffering, because he held nothing back. He spoke the truth, and the world hated him. Now, this book holds a great promise, folks. Number three, the promise of the book of Revelation. And folks, you have heard, and I think most of you that are familiar with your Bibles, of the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes found in Matthew chapter 5. You remember on the sermon in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus Christ gave the Beatitudes. Blessed are, let's see if I'll test you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And so forth. And Jesus gave the Beatitude. We call them the Beatitudes. But see, right here, we have another beatitude. And this is really neat. And this is the beatitude of Bible study. Verse 3, he says, blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of the prophecy, and heed or keep the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Let me just point out this. That the words read, hear, and heed or keep are in tenses in the original, which is continuous action. Continuous action. In other words, it's not, let me just say this. Folks, if you want to be blessed, get into this book. Get into this book. This book holds great blessings. The whole book holds great blessings for those who will get into the Bible. The Scripture talks about the blessings we have from God's Word. But in a special sense, here in the book of Revelation, he says, you really want to be blessed? Book. Read this book. And it's not just, well, every once in a while I'll pick it up and, you know, some people, you know what, Christians? We need to get this book inside us. We need to get it inside us. And you know, some Christians, and it's a shame, we have such a rich treasure here, they don't even read their Bibles. Somebody said, if you would blow the dust off of all the Bibles that exist in the United States, we'd have one of the greatest dust storms that ever hit this country. But we need to read the book and read the book of Revelation. Read it. But not just read it. We need to hear it. We need to get into it and meditate on this book. And ask God, what's this say, God? What's this mean, Lord? And we need to get in and read it and think about it. We need to heed it. So here's what he's saying. If you want to be blessed, read this book. If you really want to be blessed, Study this book. And if you want to get your socks blessed off, Nike, just do it. Do it. Do what you read. Now, let me say something here, because this dispels, I think, an erroneous view of Bible prophecy. Because some people think that God gave Bible prophecy to kind of tingle our spiritual taste buds, or to be some kind of spiritual crystal ball to help us see into the future. But prophecy has no practical spiritual implications. And that's not true. Prophecy is given so that we can have practical Christian living. All eschatology. Eschatology is the study of the end times. All eschatology is given to lead to true Christian ethics. In other words, folks, what's written in the book of Revelation is going to happen. What's written in the book of Revelation is going to happen. How should we live in light of the fact that this is true? And we need to do it. We need to see what's going to happen. We need to read it, study it, and then we need to do it. And God says, if you do that, you're going to be blessed. Now, why will you be blessed if you read and heed and do what's in the book of Revelation? Let me give you two reasons as we finish here. We have the next slide, book of Revelation. You meet, now go back to the next one. In the book of Revelation, you meet Jesus. And I'll tell you, just the fact that you meet Christ is a great blessing. I read, and one person said, if you want to get to know Jesus Christ, read the book of Revelation. Anybody want to get to know Jesus here? I'll tell you what, then you need to get into the book of Revelation. And there's no greater blessing this side of heaven than to know Christ. Amen? No greater blessing than to know Jesus Christ, to know Him in all His fullness in your life. And I'll tell you what, you can meet Jesus right in the book of Revelation. And as you get into the book, you'll get to know Him better. So that's why you get blessed. But there's another reason. Let me have the next slide. In studying the book of Revelation, one finds a heavenly view of what God is doing. And in the end, you find out God wins. Now, I'll tell you what, this is important, folks. This is, you say, how's the blessing? What's the blessing from that? Well, let me tell you, that you decided today to read a mystery novel. I don't know about you, but I do a little bit of reading, and I have some mystery novels. I bought the full series of Conan Doyle's Sherlock Holmes, and I like to occasionally read one of his mysteries. But just say you got a book, you got a mystery book, and you decided tonight, after Sunday evening service, after coming to Sunday evening service, you went home and you decide, I'm going to start reading my mystery novel. And you start reading, you get really into it, and you do what like my wife does sometimes. At 1 a.m. in the morning, you come to the point where the heroine is tied up on the railroad tracks. And the train is just about ready to come. And you know that the hero is just going to show up right now and going to take her off those tracks. But then you find that the hero is down at the pier in a warehouse, tied to a chair with a lit stick of dynamite under the chair. You say, oh my, what's going to happen? But you're too tired to read the whole book. So you turn to the last chapter. And there's the hero and the heroine. And they're out in the backyard sipping some lemonade with their newborn baby. And you find out they live happily ever after. And you close the book and you go to sleep. Well, folks, you know what? As I look around today, I'll tell you what I see I see violence. I see murder. Watch the evening news. I you know what? I used to watch it every night. I don't do that anymore. Watch the evening. Murder. I see rape. I see violence. I see terrorism. I see this last week we're going to have new card, new identification cards or license so that you can fly on an airplane. Did you see that? I see wars and rumors of war. I see the coming election. And I go, my, who's going to be president of this United States? And I think, I might have to vote for my wife this next November. And you know what, folks? If that were all the information that I had, I'd be a pessimist. I'd be worried. I'd lose my peace. I'd throw up my arms. But you know what? I've read the last chapter. I've read the last book, and I've read the last chapter, and you know what I found out? God wins. God wins. And you know what? Everybody that's on his team wins. Oh, that's the book of Revelation. Now, I've got to tell you a story. I've got to tell you another story. A number of years ago, went to Moody Bible Institute Pastors Conference. Great conference, but on Thursday afternoons, I think it's Thursday afternoons, they give you the afternoon off and you can go and do what you want to do. And so a couple of us decided to go to the gymnasium. And Adam, we decided to play basketball. Adam has very bad memories of when we were at the Solheim Center and he blew out his knee at Moody Bible, but that wasn't this time. This was another time. And we decided to play basketball, and it was me and one of our missionaries, Reverend Esley Patch. We went and decided we were going to play basketball. So what they did, they had a number of guys there that wanted to play, and I think there were four or five teams. And they chose up teams, and we played, I think it's called round robin. You play until you lose. Well, I happened to get on a team with the director of the physical education at Moody, who was a college basketball player, another guy who played basketball in college, another guy who played basketball in college, and then there was Esley Patch and me. So we started playing basketball. And we played and we won. And we played and we won. And we played and we won. We played about seven or eight games. I was just totally wiped out. But we played, we won every game! Every game! Guess how many points Pastor Les scored? 0 points. That's the truth. I didn't score 1 point. I took a lot of shots. Didn't score any points. But you know what, folks? I was on the winning team. And you know what? Jesus Christ scored all the points on Calvary and at the empty tomb. And what I find out is, if you're on his team, in the end, we win. And that's what we find out. Praise God. Praise him. Praise Jesus. And you know what, folks? It's the book of Revelation. And that's why it's going to bless you. And here's your assignment. What do you think it is? Read the book. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for the Word of God. And Lord, forgive me for not getting more of it in my life and for not just having so much more of it in me, Lord. And not only just getting it in my life, but letting it flow through my life. Help us, God, we want to be blessed, Lord. We do want to be blessed. And so, God, help us to read the book. And I just thank you, God, so much that as we go through this book, we're going to find out you're in control. You're in charge. You have the whole situation, even though it seems like it's out of control down here sometimes. Lord, you're on the throne. And Lord, in the end, you win. And we're thankful, those of us that have placed faith in you, that in Christ, we win too. Oh, Lord, praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, I pray this week, and Lord, maybe this week is when you're going to come. Help us, help me, help this congregation to live lives that would be worthy of you should we meet you this week. Help us to bear fruit in every good work. And Lord, as we read your word, help us to increase in the knowledge of God. I pray in Jesus' name, God's